Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I've got a bunch of shout-outs today. First of all, big shout-out to Bill, to Annie, to Bill, and also to Dave over at the treehouse over here in Ventura County. Also, big shout-out to Bill over at 5-Day Tire. That's right, three Bills in our shout-outs today. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is history. Each of my guests will be discussing something in political, cultural, or business history. My first guest is a member of the famous California family, the Whitleys, whose patriarch is known for starting a cozy Los Angeles suburb called Hollywood. She'll regale us with stories about the early days of Hollywood from her latest book, The Father of Hollywood. My second guest is the co-founder of Partners in Leadership, the premier provider of accountability training to corporations worldwide. He'll discuss the methodology for changing the way people think and act throughout an organization to achieve maximum results from his latest book, Change the Culture, Change the Game. My third guest will talk to us about a nearly forgotten piece of history, the role of Polish pilots in England to help win the Battle of Britain. We'll discuss her latest book titled 303 Squadron. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Galen Wiley Keith is raised in Manhattan Beach, California, a stone's throw away from Hollywood. She discovered her longing to be a writer when she was a child, listening to her mother's imaginative but true stories about Hollywood. In adolescence, she was encouraged by English teachers who described her as a born writer, and she began writing her own stories. Galen went to college at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in the early 1970s and spent the years after college traveling around the country and the world writing stories and working for South Bay Magazine. She lives now in El Dorado Hills, California with her husband. Her current book is titled The Father of Hollywood, and she's working on her new book, The Father of Hollywood, The Final Event, just like Hollywood, already working on a sequel. Welcome to the show, Galen. How are you today?
I'm great. Good to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest, particularly since you yourself are a connection to history, and I like that. So the story of Hollywood really begins with your great-grandfather, doesn't it? Hobart Johnson Wiley, or H.G. Wiley as he's known. Tell us a little bit about how he came to California and some of his background.
Well, my great-grandfather worked for the Chicago Rock Island Railroad. He was a town developer, had developed already over 100 towns, and he came to California on business. And fortunately, my great-grandmother also was here on a vacation, and they met on the train trip back east. And for their honeymoon, they came out to California, and while they were here, he's always looking for something else to develop, land to buy. They rode out from Los Angeles out to what was called Cahuenga at the time, and they stood up at the top of the hill kind of overlooking the valley, and they even had views to the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
I don't know, most people probably can't see that now because of all the lights and things, but Hollywood at one point could see the ocean. And as they're standing there, along came a man, it was a Chinese man driving a wagon, and the man stopped and got out and said hello to my great-grandparents, and my great-grandfather asked him, what are you doing? And in broken English, he answered, up early, work hard, Hollywood, because he was hauling wood.
I see.
And my great-grandfather had an epiphany. He said, Hollywood. I'm going to name this town Hollywood. Holly for my British ancestry and wood for my Scottish. And there's the name Hollywood.
Well, that's a very entertaining story, and nobody knew that. Of course, I thought that there were holly trees there, so you just dispelled that myth for me. But let me come back to your great-grandfather. He was a town developer. Now, this is a job title that we don't have a lot of these days in the United States. So for my listeners, describe, what was a town developer back in the day?
Well, he bought large acreage, for example, he bought 500 acres in Hollywood, which ran from La Brea to Cahuenga, the center being Highland, like where the Kodak Theater is. So he bought that whole, 500 acres, and then he would put in the infrastructure, really, like the roads. He brought electricity to Hollywood. It was the first electric lit home was his home. And he set up the water and all that type of thing. And then he usually sold it off to real estate people who would then sell it off to you.
I see.
So he bought the San Fernando Valley as well, which was 48,000 acres. So he did big portions of land. Hollywood was a little smaller.
Yeah, it was just a little afterthought for him, wasn't it? Amazing. We're talking to Galen Whiteley, everybody. She's the author of the book, The Father of Hollywood. And you write the book from a very unique perspective. That's the perspective of your great-grandmother, Gigi. How and why did you take that perspective when writing the book?
Well, actually, my great-grandmother started to write the book herself. And so it was written, obviously, from her perspective. And she knew everything had happened. At first, when I started to write the book, I'd write he was friends with Teddy Roosevelt, and Teddy Roosevelt spoke at his bank. And then I went, oh, really? I better check that out. And I go to the internet to look, and because obviously a president is trackable. And I go, oh, that's right. And then I finally realized, why am I tracking anything? She was there.
Well,
she knows it all.
There you go. Nothing like the firsthand perspective, is there?
Right. And it's kind of amazing. Well, my great-grandmother lived till 1951, and so my father, who is still alive, had many conversations with her as well. So it's a great family history. It's a history that kind of shows the changing of a generation. My great-grandfather was a fine Victorian man who he bought Hollywood with a handshake.
Wow.
That was the bond that tied them. He paid $22,000 in gold for it, which gold coin. Which it's kind of amazing that Hollywood, most of Hollywood, cost $22,000 back in 1886.
Well, remember, Manhattan only cost us a bunch of beads, so inflation.
Right. And so he was a great businessman. In fact, he is the reason Hollywood became Hollywood. He was fortunate to meet one of the Horsley brothers walking down the road, and they had a conversation. He was lost. Mr. Horsley was lost, and my great-grandfather not only told him where to go, he walked him to the destination. And they made an instant friendship, and he found out he was in the film business and offered his estate for filming. So the two Horsley brothers, along with Al Christie, came out on October 26, 1911, and did an original take to see if Hollywood was actually a good spot to film. And it was such a good take, the next day they rented Blondieu Tavern in Hollywood and became the first studio to arrive in Hollywood.
Wow. I mean, it's an amazing story. Of course, we're coming up on the 100-year anniversary of that first film on October the 26th, as you mentioned. How did your great-grandfather know that the film industry was going to be such a big deal and that Hollywood would be the place that they would settle?
Well, he was all, when he started his town, he always first built a hotel and then put in a bank, because when you're coming to a new area, you don't have anywhere to stay if you don't have a house. It's all raw land. And so he always was looking for an industry to bring to the area where he started a town, where both young and old, rich and poor could kind of do it. And although the industry was not huge yet, you could tell they had filming in Hollywood and New York was big. And he was a visionary, and he goes, this will be a great thing to bring here and a good way to sell my land. He was always into selling, that was his thing, really, promoting land and getting businesses to come.
Sure.
And so, really, the majority of the first people that came to Hollywood stayed in his hotel, which is where the Kodak Theater is currently located. And the movie stars and everyone stayed there. And then, eventually, the majority of them bought in Whitley Heights, which was the first Beverly Hills of the area. And when you did the first home tours, in the 1920s, you'd have Rudolph Valentino and Charlie Chaplin. They lived in the Hill, and all the famous people. He just knew how. He was amazing. He started all those towns. He brought the cotton industry to California. He invented telemarketing.
Really?
I don't know if that's a good thing, but when he developed the San Fernando Valley, he hired the operators. You know, there used to be operators on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He hired an operator school in L.A. to call everyone that lived in Los Angeles and invite them to a barbecue.
Wow.
To sell the valley. So he was really a visionary. He put in Sunset Boulevard, and he really put in Hollywood Boulevard, which at the time was considered a really wide highway because he had one side for the cars and one side for the horses.
Hmm.
So he put in the red car, which was kind of a forethought to rapid transit.
Absolutely. Very progressive. I mean, it's amazing. We are talking to Galen Whitley. Do I pronounce it Wiley or Whitney?
Whitley.
Whitley Keith, everybody, author of the book Father of Hollywood, and she's regaling us with some amazing stories. But in your book, you say that you dispel some of the misconceptions about your great-grandfather. So what are some of those misconceptions that people have today, and how did you dispel them?
Well, I think really a lot of people didn't know him. He was a very private man, and so it wasn't known really that he was like the reason for the Hollywood sign. He's really the reason behind the Walk of Fame, because like his hotel had a room where the silent stars could dine, and above their table there was a star on the ceiling. So when they came in, they always sat at their table, and then when the hotel was being torn down, kind of keep that idea of the star with the star's name in it, they put it into the Walk of Fame. And then the Hollywood sign, the first Hollywood lit sign, was actually not the Hollywoodland sign. It said Whitley Heights. In fact, if you look at the cover of the book, you'll see there's a sign on it saying Whitley Heights, and if you look up in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see the first H for the Hollywood Land sign being put up.
Wow.
Mm. And his business partner, Harry Chandler from the L.A. Times, was having trouble selling land, and he said, well, the Whitley Heights sign is great because electricity was new. People just came to see electricity because it's so novel. That he said, put up a sign saying Hollywoodland to sell your land in Hollywood, and it stuck. It was only supposed to be there for a year.
Wow. And yet, here it is today, nearly 100 years later. Amazing. We're talking to Gailey Whitley Keith, everybody. We're talking about her latest book, The Father of Hollywood. One of the things that struck me is that you started your writing career based on some of the stories that your mother told you, the true stories about early Hollywood. What were some of those earliest stories that you can remember about the history of Hollywood?
I think the biggest one they always told was how Hollywood was named. His house, the last house he owned, is currently in Whitley Heights. It's on the National Registry. And as a young child, we go to Hollywood and visit his house. And then we'd also go down to Grauman's Chinese. My family, my grandparents were friends with Sid Grauman. And so she would tell me about how they came up with the idea for the putting the footprints in and all those things, and it was just an amazing history. And probably I heard it as a child and didn't really understand the impact it had because you're young.
Sure.
And then, like, she used to go, he's the most amazing man. He did so much, you know, and people just don't know how wonderful he was. He was a kind man. In fact, when he did the San Fernando Valley, the Depression came and his business partners had wanted to foreclose on people. And he thought that the man that worked hard needed a chance. So he bought out the remaining assets of the San Fernando Valley from his business partners and didn't foreclose.
Wow.
And there aren't men like that much anymore.
Well, no, not in these days, that's for certain. Galen, when you wrote the book, The Father of Hollywood, what did you want readers to take away from reading your book?
I think it's just when I wrote it, my children, for example, are, say, the 30s generation. And they really had no concept what the world was like and how much it changed. It's just a great history. Women didn't have vote, and they got that. The styles changed. Women's position in society changed. It's just such a great history. It's showing an honorable man. It's showing he worked hard. It kind of gives you an idea how he came up with his novel ideas, what he did to make himself successful, what his shortcomings were, because we all have some of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a whole thing. And also my aim is I'm also trying to get him in the California Hall of Fame. And there's a link on my website, The Father of Hollywood, that you can go and nominate him, because he's just a man that changed not only California but the world. Because if they hadn't all gone to one spot, maybe Hollywood wouldn't have developed to be what it is today.
Without a doubt. Absolutely. Now, Galen, what did you personally get out of writing the book?
Well, I think the thing I learned is I'm a lot like my grandfather. When I get on to some project, because I've been doing this for 10 years, it took a lot of research. We had boxes and boxes. I probably went through 80 boxes of paper.
Wow.
And it wasn't necessarily organized. People just put it in. And so I read it, and I just have the determination to keep going. Right now they're talking to some movie producers. My goal is to have an Academy Award-winning movie made of the book, which would be nice for me as well. I mean, I would get assets probably from selling the book, but my purpose is just to really get the true history of the founding of Hollywood recorded and let people know. And it's a great lesson of how he was successful and what he did.
Well, it is. And we've been talking to Galen Whitley Keith, everybody. Her book is The Father of Hollywood. Galen, if people want to learn more or learn about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
To thefatherofhollywood.com.
Thefatherofhollywood.com. And there's where you can learn it on. Galen, thank you so much for being our guest
thank
here on Brainstorming.
Oh. It was great.
Our pleasure. It's a delight. Thank you so much. You have a good one. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bye-bye.
All right.